Log Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. Once again, this is the Lord. This is the Brother Hunter with KESK Radio Station. Today is a great day in our lives. We want to thank God for all the blessings that he has bestowed upon us, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. Before we do anything, we want to clear the slate and give God the praise. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts for the many blessings that you have done for us. Today is a day that we say hallelujah. Today is a day that we give you thanks. Today is a day that we praise your holy name, from the rising of the sun to the setting of it. And Father, because we know that you're still active in our lives, we want to thank you for everything. I pray this night for the lady I met years ago, but finally our paths have come together. Sammy has a lot of words to give us tonight to some people she knows. I pray this night for a guest. I pray for those who come on the line, those who listen, because around the world we go, Father. We take it by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you for Israel. We pray Psalm 122, verse 6 on it. In the name of Jesus, we pray for America. We pray for the president. Pray for both houses of Congress. We pray this country becomes strong in attitude and vitality and knowing Jesus Christ is our prayer. Amen, 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 amen. Well, hello there, Sammy. How you doing?
I'm fine, Willie. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I know you
well,
got
good.
A lot to say this night, so I'm gonna sit back and watch everything happen. You got
all
the
right,
phone.
Willie. Well, thank you. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight for the 5252 Ministry Street Talk program. We're so excited to be part every Wednesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. on Central Time. We know it's going nationally and worldwide, and we're hoping that someone here in this talk show tonight can be touched by the Lord and just know that he is God, he is mightier than anything that anybody's going through, and he's going to be with you no matter what. And we just praise him, and all this is for him, for no other reason but for him and his glory and his kingdom. And if you'd like to see more details on this ministry, you can go to 5252ministries.org and see all of our information on what we're doing and where we are. We do street work all the time in Houston, Texas area, and you can sign up a volunteer form there, and we will get right back to you because we do have certain criteria to do for the volunteers and everything. We do stuff on the streets. We feed, we preach, we love, and we show Jesus wherever we go. Also, too, I just want to tell you a few things about me from my background in case you don't know who I am. I'm hoping that some of y'all guys do. Back in 2009, I had rededicated my life to the Lord with a total surrender. Well, I can tell you I know the difference of total surrender now. I thought I was a Christian. I've been baptized and done everything. But when I became sick, and I know that everybody has some sort of a pit story they have, but mine was I became sick with cancer. But there was a lot of things that led up to that. I was very well off, very good in real estate. I was a home builder and a land developer and in real estate for many years. And I became very depressed because of a thing going through in my marriage, and I just didn't really care anymore to live. I don't know if anybody else has ever went through something that devastating. Of course, I know you have. But sometimes when you don't even want to wake up the next day, and that's kind of where I was. I didn't care. But you know what? I wound up in a little tool shed, which I was thankful to have. And the best part of it is that's probably the best place I ever lived my whole entire life. Moving from a very expensive home down to a tool shed was a lot of difference in man eyes, but let me tell you what, it's the best move I ever had because that's where I found Jesus, when I found the real treasure in life. And I'll never, ever think anything but wonderful things of that tool shed. You know, because I found myself finally with Jesus where I needed to be. I tried to do everything myself because I was, you know, I was so independent. And you know what? There's a time in all of our lives where we have to give it up and give it to God because he is the only one that can take you through anything in your life. And he can take care of you. And he'll never leave you or forsake you. It's us that leave. So I just am so thankful that our God is a forgiving God and a loving God, that he will not ever leave us. So thank you, Father. I praise you, Father, for that. I praise you for that. But let's kind of get off my past. We know it's bad. We all have some bad things. But let me tell you, in the bad and in the storm, there's always something good that comes out of it. And let me tell you, after 17 surgeries of cancer-related surgeries and me being healed, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, cancer-free today. He has told me to send me out to be his hands and feet. Like, we all have assignments out there, and I know I finally have recognized mine, and I know what my calling is, you know? And I had to wait till I was 50 years old to figure that out. So, you know, he doesn't care what your age is, what you're going through, where you are in life. It doesn't matter because, you know what? God, during the time until you figure it out, is shaping, and he is molding you to be the person that he wants you to be. He loves you so much. So he wants to fix you and help you and guide you and show you that narrow gate and walk beside you down it. Because I promise you one thing, it's not an easy thing to do. But with God, all things are possible. He will never leave you. And you know, there's nothing any better than knowing that you have a Father that loves you so much that no matter what you do, and he's a forgiving God, that if you fail, because we're all going to fail because we're all sinners, that we can go back to him right now. Let's go back to him right now and ask for forgiveness again. As long as we have it in our heart that we're really trying, and he knows that. He knows your real heart. And he knows that we're going to sin. But if he knows that you're really trying, he's going to just hold your hand like your daddy on earth was and say, come on, let me show you the way. He is the one that's going to take you through everything. You know, I when I went through all my cancer and everything, God told me to do revivals in the park. And I'm thinking, you want me to do revivals in a park? I've never done a revival, much less in a park. I had no clue what to do. But you know what? Let me tell you how God can guide you through anything. He showed me how to do it. You know, he showed me. I had no money, cancer, had no insurance, and I was broke, and I wasn't going to do a revival. But let me tell you what, when you take and give your burdens to him, and you go out and you try to help somebody else and not worry about yourself, you know, he takes care of you. You know, I can remember thinking, I can't believe. I'm not even worried or scared. I wasn't even scared of the big C. You know, they told me twice I was going to die, and I said, no, my God has gave me an assignment. My daddy says I have to do some work. And you know what? I was obedient, and I did it. And you know what? When you're obedient and you really try and you listen to him and you learn to hear his voice and you know he recognizes his voice and you know it's him, he will take you to something bigger than you could ever imagine in your whole entire life. He can take you some places that you could not, I mean, it's so much better and bigger than you imagined. When you think of something in your life that is so amazing and so great, you think, and multiply it by light years that God can do it even better, why even worry about it anymore? Just give it to him and say, God, just show me. Take me where you want to take me, because what you want to do is so much better than me. You know, I don't know about you guys, but when I always try to drive my car, you know, and I'm talking about driving my life, that's what I'm talking about. When I get in that car and I'm trying to drive my life where I think I want to take it, it's not any good. And you know what? I said, God, I want you to drive that car. I don't want to drive no more. So I thought, well, I'll get in the back seat. And I thought, no, I won't. He doesn't need a back seat driver. God doesn't need direction from you. We need direction from him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So I want to get in the trunk. And not only in the trunk, I don't want to get out. I want him to lock me in there. And I want him to let me out when he's ready for me to go down the path he has for me. Because I can wait for him and wait for him. And when he gives me that beautiful path, it's nothing but wonderful, wonderful things. And so I love to wait upon the Lord, because I know that when he shows up, it's good. He's a God of good things. So I just want to tell you, you know, I've been so blessed to go out there. In 2013, I hit 74 cities, 73 cities, 74 missions, and preached the gospel everywhere. And I also fed some people. But, you know, I want to feed people. I feed people now downtown Houston all the time. But I want to feed them spiritual food more than anything. Because kind of like the Gate Beautiful, when the beggar was there, he would ask for only that one day. He went there every day to get food or money for food for that day. But I want food for eternity. I want it forever. So I just invite you just to think about that. Don't ask for out the day. Look for eternity. What can God, only live day to day in God's direction, but think about the alternative. If you just try to do it yourself, it's not going to be good. But with God, it's going to be awesome. So I always say it's Godsome, because God is Godsome. There is nothing any better or higher than God in his power. But I want to tell you, I went around all this whole U.S. for 381 days and spoke to everyone about what he did for me. Because you know what? He'll do the very same for you. I am nothing to him any different than you are. I am no more special, or nor are you. We are equal to God. So he will take us. He'll let us, we have a free will to make some choices. But, you know, as long as you make the right choices as best you can or ask for guidance, he's going to take you through any storm. He didn't say it was going to be easy. As a matter of fact, when I got spirit-filled, my life totally changed. And I'm going to tell you what, the enemy is coming from all over, but you have to learn to stand strong and stand tall because you know that no matter what, those fiery darts can't hit you because Jesus is right there beside you. You know, just tell Satan to get out of your way. And you know what? During all this, he will show you things you can't imagine. And you know what's so good? Is he's put me in front of people that are unbelievable. And we have an awesome guest tonight. You know, he's amazing. You know, I met him back in April of 2012. Him and his beautiful wife, Cindy. And I'll tell you what, he is amazing. He has a ministry school. We're going to ask him a bunch of questions in a minute. But let me tell you something. When he speaks, we need to listen because you know what? It's God speaking through him. It's not him. It's God speaks through him, volumes. And I love that. Every time I'm with him and around him, I just feel the love of Jesus all around. And I know that his words are being spoken. And you know, I pray every day for Jesus, our Lord. His voice that comes out of my mouth is his words, not mine. I don't want my words because my words are no good, but his are amazing. But we have a beautiful guest in a minute. But first, I'm going to tell you something else. I go out in the streets all the time. I try to help the homeless. You know, I do help the homeless. I know that our team at 5252 Ministries is an amazing team. We have a bunch of different people that help. We have a core bunch of people that help all the time. Then we have volunteers that come. Like I said again, go to 5252ministries.org. Sign up to be a volunteer. Just be a volunteer one time. I promise you it'll change your life. There's all kinds of different things that we're doing. And we've got new things coming, too, which are amazing. But I just want you to know that there's so many homeless across America. Did you know there's over 610,000 homeless people in America? Yes. Over 610,000 in America. Do you know that 394,000, a little bit over that, are sheltered? The rest of them are in the streets. Now, there's two types of homeless, too. There's a chronic homeless. That means that they are out there all the time. You know, and there's also one that's continual for a year or more. There's different types. Some are there for one or two days. They get a place here and there and whatever. But some have nowhere to go. They're out there continually. They have to deal with the storms and all the elements of the world out there. I'm talking about the difference in the cold and the hot and no water and all those things. Now, you know, they have to walk everywhere. Can you imagine if you didn't have a car and no money and no place to sleep? Can you really imagine that? No electricity, no plumbing. There's so many places you can go. They won't even let you use the restroom. So what do they do? You know, we get mad at them because they're on the streets. But, you know, it's great that almost 400,000 are in shelters. But what about that other 300-something thousand that are not? What does that tell you? That tells you that we need more shelters. Now, there's some people don't want to be off the street. We all know that, okay? I know that. And there's a 25% are like mentally ill. They don't even know what they're doing. They need help, but they need to get off the street because they need to get into a facility that can help them properly because they're not getting the care on the street they need. And then there's another 25% which are just people, like ordinary people, your brother, your sister, your neighbor that had a hard time, that lost their job. They got depressed, which I know all about, and lost everything because they didn't care if they lived or died anymore. Maybe it's from a divorce, or maybe it's just a loss of job. Maybe it's just a loss of a family member. Maybe, you know, it's health. We don't know. But the problem is sometimes when we don't know, we start judging people. You know, oh, they don't do this because one person they know was using the system or doing whatever, but they're not all like that. You know what? There's as many people in million-dollar homes using the system or doing something they shouldn't be doing as there is on the street. Just because you live in a big old house doesn't mean you're not doing something wrong. You know what? God loves the ones in million-dollar homes and ones on the streets just as much. He doesn't love any more because you have one more dollar than somebody else. He doesn't care. He looks from the inside out, and the world looks from the outside in. And I tell you, I've lived it, and I've seen it. And it makes my heart feel so bad to know that there's so many people that just want to judge people. But you know what? What does the Bible say about judging? No, judge not if you don't want to be judged. So instead of walking by or turning your head, don't walk by. Stop to see if you can help What if you could buy a bottle of water because somebody was thirsty in the heat? Wouldn't you want somebody to do that for you? What if it was your brother? You didn't know where he was, but he was lost out there, and he needed something. Wouldn't you want them taken care of? Let's talk about the kids. What about the kids out there? Do you know, it's so sad to know that there's so many kids out there. Do you know that this kid killer is 23% of all those 610 I'm telling you about is children. That's 133,000 over children under the age of 18 that are on the streets or in shelters because they have nowhere to go, because their mothers and daddies have nowhere to go. A lot of them are single moms. Some are even single dads. I've met them all. They're all different shapes and sizes and different situations. I'm telling you, you can't ever tell what it's going to be like. And then sometimes there's some homeless people that you can't even tell they're homeless. Just because they're homeless doesn't mean that they don't take care of themselves. Doesn't mean they're not clean. Some aren't. But you know what? There's some that have houses aren't clean. So we just kind of seem to stereotype people. And I'm just saying, please, America, don't do that. Let's just help our fellow brother and sister out there that's in need, because you never can tell when it could be you, you know? I came from, you know, having money down to nothing. And thank you, Jesus, for helping me. I wasn't as bad as a lot of the ones on the street, but I can tell you it was bad enough. You know, my homelessness was just as bad to me as somebody else's was. So you can't judge totally by where you sleep. Homelessness is a lot of things. Homeless can be, you have to have no home. You're sleeping in a car. You know, what is the definition of homelessness? You know, from the HUD definition, it's on the streets or in encampments. A place is not meant for human habitation or habitation or car, abandoned buildings, parks, and with no electricity or no plumbing. You know, that is homelessness. There is emergency shelters. There is transitional homes out there for people and some safe havens, but there's not enough. But you know what? We could help that number come down some by just being a friend, being kind and showing love. You know, I always think, what would Jesus do? So just think of that. You know, I was going to tell you some of the big cities around the U.S. You know, New York City is the number one, has the most homeless there is. They have over 56,000 homeless there in the streets in their area. Los Angeles has 42,000 plus. San Diego has over 10,000. Seattle has 8,800 plus. Las Vegas has 8,700. Houston, Texas, where I live and where I work, has over 7,100. San Jose, California, has over 7,000. The District of Columbia has over 6,900. Atlanta, Georgia, has 6,800, and Chicago has 6,700. That's the top 10. But, you know, the whole thing is if we just cannot walk by, we should be, they're humans like we are, so we should ask them if they've contacted a place to go or do they need help. You know, just maybe they just need a kind word or a smile. It can make such a difference in somebody else's life. So just kindness, please, just show kindness and show love. Do you know that when I was talking about Texas, of course, I'm really interested in Texas because I live here. I'm interested in the whole U.S., but in Texas we have over 7,100. And a lot of those are kids because I see those all the time. But right here in Harris County alone, Harris County in Fort Bend County, do you know there's over 6,300 homeless right here? And there's 2,927 of those that are not in shelters. That means there's almost 3,000 on the streets in this one county, in Fort Bend and Harris County. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing to think that many people are everywhere. And how many times do you go to a stoplight and see people there? I know people sometimes abuse the system and you don't want to give them money, but you know what? You can offer something that costs nothing. You can give them a candy bar in your car, you know, a little protein bar, or you can give them Jesus. Jesus costs nothing. Ask them if they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It can make a difference for eternity. Eternity, not just that day. So, but my guest tonight, he's done some work with me out in the streets, and he's been around. He's been, you know, he's been a minister for over 40 years. He is a wonderful teacher. You know, of course, Jesus and God is our ultimate teacher, but you know what I always say, and I say that he is my earthly teacher that God sent to me, because I've learned so much from him, and I promise you that you will from him too. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he delivers them that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful message and creative miracles all over. You know, he's a founder of Daryl McManus Ministries, and he's, of course, in the U.S. He lives right here in Montgomery, Texas, him and his wife. He has two sons and two daughters. He has five grandsons and one granddaughter. And he's amazing. I mean, he has done so much work. He has orphanages over in India. He has ministered in South Africa, Honduras, and China. And recently, the Lord gave him an oversight of a ministry in an orphanage in the Philippines. And so he's starting to work with that. But one thing I know about him and his wife, Cindy, is when you talk to them, you see Jesus. And that's what is so amazing, because when you see someone that knows the Word and uses, and God uses so powerful for both of them, that it's amazing, because you want to listen. You want to hear what they have to say, because it's from God. What he says is from God. He is anointed so awesome, him and his wife both. They're speakers all over. They have done numerous television shows and radio programs. And he has a school of ministry right here in Conroe, Texas. And I'm just so thankful that he's going to be on my first live show tonight. What an awesome, I am so privileged to have him with me. And on the first 5252 Ministry Street Talk show. So, Daryl, are you there?
Yes. How are you doing?
Hi, Daryl. Oh, I'm doing great. We're so excited that you're with us tonight.
Amen. Very, very excited. And I already sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit already moving powerfully through you. Amen.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we have a lot of things to talk about, you know. First couple of questions. You know, I met you back in April of 2012, and I just got to say that was one of the, you and your wife, and I got to say that that was one of the most precious times of my life, and I really didn't really know what all was going to be happening or whatever, but you know what? I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, my life has never been a change. I'd already been never been the same. I have already been in the streets working with homeless for years, since 2009. But when I went and got baptized by the Holy Spirit, it still went to a different level, totally different. And I know you teach a lot about that, Daryl. So why don't you just give us a little bit about that teaching, what you do with that?
Well, you know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, Jesus said that you would receive power. And that word power is the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get dynamite, explosive power. And, you know, the blood of Jesus is what washes us from our sins and causes us to be born again. But then we need to be filled with God's power. And that's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That gives us power to witness, to be a witness. You know, there's a difference between trying to witness and then having the power inside of us to be a witness. And that being a witness comes from being filled with the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit himself. He is a person. And when he fills us up with himself, he gives us power, just unlimited power, power to witness. Power to serve the Lord, to overcome the attacks of the enemy, and we actually receive a prayer language that we can speak to. It's like a hotline just between you and God, with a language that the devil knows nothing about. He can't intercept it. He does not even know what's going on. It's a hotline to heaven. Amen?
Amen. Whew. Now, you have a ministry school in Conroe, Texas. Is that correct?
That's right, and we're meeting right now on every Tuesday at 15222 I-45 North in Conroe at 7 p.m., and anyone in the area, they would be blessed if they could come to one of those.
Now, that's every Tuesday night, correct?
That's correct, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m.
Since it's a ministry school, is there a cost for that?
No, we everything we do is on a love offering basis, and we teach a number of courses on the nine gifts of the Spirit or charismatic witchcraft, various subjects as God leads us.
Right. Yeah, I've been to many of those, and let me tell you, they're very powerful. I've never been to any class or school or anything as powerful as the ones that you have. Now, tell me, Daryl, I know you have a new book out, so I want you to tell me the title and where they can get it, and I want you to just tell me a little bit about that, and then I have another question after you do that.
Sure. I was blessed to become a resident author through Whitaker House. They've got a new label called Banner Books, and actually this is the first of a number of books that are about to come out. This first book is called What You Didn't Know About God's Throne, Let It Out of Your Box. and it's revelation knowledge that God gave me concerning his throne, that God's throne has levels. Isaiah, that his throne is so big it couldn't fit into a room, that Isaiah saw the top view, and John in Book of Revelation saw the eye-level panoramic view, and Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 1 and 10 saw the beneath view, and that Daniel 7:9 says God's throne has wheels. Well, Ezekiel chapter 1 and 10 tells us that each cherubim is in charge of one of those wheels and that God's throne moves, and that if we will get into heaven's praise, if we can actually get into the praise of heaven, then heaven and God's throne actually will come to the earth, will come in the middle of that praise. And when that happens, I'm telling you, there's no room for, in other words, miracles are going to manifest. There's no room for the impossible. Everything is possible when we get into that realm with God Ooh. Himself.
Oh, amen. That is so right. Amen. Okay, so in your book, there's a section in there on our assignments that
yes.
we have.
Yes.
So we all have an assignment. God has one for each and one of us. When we're born, we already have one. It's already instilled in us. But in your book, it explains a little bit about that, and I think that's so interesting. That's why I love that, and there's so many. The book is awesome. I've read it. But about the assignment, it's really good, too, because I know that, like I said earlier, you know, I didn't really get my assignment aware to myself until I was like 50, but I had it for all those years, and I just didn't know it. I didn't know how to find it. I didn't know what to do. But you know what? When I came to your classes, I found out about it, and I found out how to find it and how to explore it and to really use it. I already thought I had it because I thought my calling was to be in the streets with the homeless, which it is. But the difference is that it's in a different level. It's a totally different level. When you figure it out with Lord Jesus, that your assignment, the way he wants it to be, is unbelievable, like nothing you've ever seen before. When you're filled with that spirit, you're filled with that fire that nothing can get in your way. When you can get out there with your assignment and just do whatever he wants you to do, because he will guide you so much. And I want you to explain a little bit about that in your book, and then we're going to talk about the fivefold ministry and about our, you know, where we fit in all that.
Sure. And in chapter 6, the entire sixth chapter of the book is on the assignment. It's actually on accepting our assignments from God. And you asked to mention, if somebody wants to get one, this is meat. If you're hungry for the meat of the word, if you'll just go to darrellmcmanus.com, it's real easy, darrellmcmanus.com, you can order a book, one of these books. But let's get right into the assignment. Every person listening to this broadcast right now, you have an assignment. And outside of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, there's two judgments. Every person on the planet, there's over 7 billion people on the planet right now, and every person on planet Earth right now is going to go to one or two judgments. And the Great White Throne Judgment is the judgment that every person that rejects Jesus will go to, and that's a horrible judgment because people will be sentenced to the lake of fire for eternity, and that's what 5252 Ministries is all about, is rescuing people that are on a fast track to hell and giving them a first-class ticket to heaven. And if that's you this evening, I know before this broadcast is over, you're going to have the opportunity to embrace Jesus as Lord. But once you make him Lord, then there's going to be another judgment that you'll go to. Every Christian will go to what's called the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be judged, not for heaven or hell. You can't go to that judgment unless you go to heaven. What we'll be judged for is from our assignment book. That's right. Every Christian has their own assignment book. And I'm going to show you where that's found in the Bible. It's a powerful verse. Psalm 139, verse 16 says this, "Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." David, in writing Psalm 139, knew that all of his days, everything that he was to accomplish, was already recorded in a book before there were any of them. And every person listening to us this evening, your assignment is already recorded in your assignment book. God has them recorded. And so when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what we'll be judged for is, did we do our assignment?
Amen.
And the thing is, Sammy, I've been ministering over 40 years, and I find that most Christians that I talk to don't know their assignment. What they ask, what is God's will? I don't know what God's will is for my life. I'm here to tell you this evening, the Spirit of God wants to download your assignment book into each of your spirits. And I believe he'll do that even during this broadcast. And he will begin to reveal to you what you were predestined to do before you were ever in your mother's womb. Amen?
Amen. That's beautiful. So tell me about the fivefold ministry and how that works. Let everybody know that.
Sure. You know, you are called in the fivefold ministry. There, you know, we all have assignments. Not everybody's called into the fivefold ministry, but there are people that are. And the fivefold ministry is listed in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Jesus, it says that he gave some to the church. And those some were five offices: apostles, prophets, evangelists, and that's the office you stand in. Powerful anointing on you in the office of evangelist, the office of pastor, and teacher. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says that great grace was on the early church. Now, God's number for grace is five. The reason why there was great grace on the church is because the early church operated in the fullness of the apostle anointing, the prophet anointing, the evangelist anointing, the pastor anointing, and the teacher anointing. And just to do this real quick, the quickest way I know how in defining these offices, in Exodus chapter 30, the 30th chapter of Exodus, and it talks about from verses 22 all the way down, I believe it's like to the verse 33. It talks about five ingredients to the anointing oil, five ingredients to God's anointing oil. And those five ingredients were the olive oil. The olive oil represents the apostle anointing. And then the liquid myrrh and represents the prophet anointing, because a prophet speaks, thus saith the Lord. And actually that anointing works through our ministry in a number of ways and fashions. And also myrrh brings a purifying element to the church. And then the other ingredient is the sweet-smelling calamus, which is the evangelist anointing. And that's what's on you, Sammy. And the calamus grows like a tall reed right out in crocodile territory. And that's where God sends the evangelist, is right out on the front lines, right out in the enemy's territory. And that's the evangelist anointing, to reach the masses for Christ and to bring them the good news. And then the sweet cinnamon is the pastor anointing, where he cares for the flock. He loves the flock. He feeds the flock. And then the last one's the cassia, which is the teacher anointing. And the cassia is obtained by peeling off the outer bark of the cassia tree to where the inner bark is exposed. And a teacher, and that's part of what God uses us in as well, is they strip off the outer bark of man's traditions and lay the inner bark of God's word out so that we can get a hold of it and understand it. Amen?
Amen. That's wonderful. Now, can you have more than one of these?
Absolutely. We'll find earlier in the book of Acts that in Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, that Paul is called a prophet and a teacher. But then later on, after the Holy Spirit separates him into another office, he's then called the Apostle Paul. And so we find that Paul is called a teacher. There's times that Paul would stay like 2 or 3 years in one city and do nothing but teach the word. And so, yes, we can move in more than one office, however the Holy Spirit equips a person.
That's right. Amen. Well, and then, so tell me also then about some of your experiences in the streets for ministry and stuff and what you've done. I know you've done some stuff with me, and I'd like to hear about some of that.
Well, we've had the privilege to go out with you actually in Conroe, Texas, right out on the street, and we saw the power of God just fall. It's so beautiful to see. You know, it's the same God. And to, right out in the open air, to see all of these homeless people that we always feed them in any of your meetings. We always feed them physical food, but they never leave without spiritual food. And to see the power of the Holy Spirit fall on people and them to make a decision to accept Christ as their Savior. And we've seen a number of them filled with the Holy Spirit. We've seen God move in downtown Houston. We've been with you out there and God see God work in a beautiful way. And we've seen God heal people. I mean, just his mighty healing power. And it was so beautiful to be with you. You know, we had a delay in getting into New York City, but when we did get there, we were able to connect with you in the Bowery Mission, and that was such a beautiful experience. I mean, to see all of those beautiful, beautiful people come and hungry, accept Jesus as their Savior, see miracles break out. I remember this one guy, you know, after I had finished preaching, and he just started shouting and dancing all over the place. We found out later that he had injuries in his knees, and the Lord absolutely completely healed him. And then later we helped you feed hundreds and hundreds of people and actually served them food. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
It really was. I want you to tell us, you know, we on January 4th of 2014, we had a revival up in New York. Now, however, I will say it was right in the middle of a big storm that we had up there. And it was like below 9 degrees. It was awful. And you guys tried to get up there. Okay, so you got to Washington, D.C., and that's where you were for a while. So I wanted you to tell people what you did while you were there, because I think it's so beautiful, because when you're out there, you no matter where you are, you have, you know, sometimes you're going to have some idle time. You had idle time because you were stuck in the airport. But, you know, sometimes we have time. We're waiting somewhere in a doctor's office, or we're waiting in line somewhere, or whatever it is, where we are. And we have an opportunity to share, you know, about Jesus to people, but most of us don't do that. But, you know, that's the time that we could really do that. You know, we have long lines sometimes in grocery stores. Well, I feel sorry for the people that are you know, there with me, because if they don't want to hear about it, because they're going to hear about Jesus, because, you know, it's our duty. Mark 16:15 says for us to go out and to spread the gospel and share the gospel with all creation. So that's what I try to do no matter where I am, because once you're full of the Spirit, that's all you want to do anyway. You know, when you know that it's supposed to, what your calling is and what you're supposed to be doing, and you figure out what you're supposed to do. So you and Cindy were in this airport and you were set there. So I want you to tell me what you did there for 2 days.
Well, we realized, we tried to get to New York, and we realized that, hey, there was a reason why we were delayed. So we began to pray in the Holy Ghost, and we found out later that the mayor of New York, the present mayor, had been inaugurated in Washington, D.C. And so our first mission was to pray. We felt like there was some spiritual warfare going on in Washington connected with what God wanted to do in New York. And as we prayed, the Spirit of God just began to open up doors. Cindy and I began to minister. I mean, situations began to manifest where we were able to share the Word of God and affected a number of people with the gospel. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter where you're at, what state you're in, what country you're in right now, there are people around you that only you can reach.
That's
and
right.
I believe in this broadcast that God's going to quicken people right where you're at to become aware. You know, there's one of the spiritual laws is called the law of recognition. The law of recognition is recognizing whom God has sent you to. And God has sent, everybody here has a territory. You have a group of people that you can reach, a destiny, your assignment is to reach people that we can't reach, but you have your own audience, your own group of people, And that's what happened while we were there. God opened door after door after door to minister the gospel, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I love the story because when you were telling me, I was so excited because, you know, we have time. We really do have time in our lives to do that. But you know what? We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to make the time, you know? The best time I have, though, of course, is when, God wants us to do all these things, but he mostly wants us. He mostly wants us individual. So the best times I have is those 2 or 3 hours in the morning time, which I get up real early just to be with Jesus and just to get to see that beautiful sunrise every morning, but to see his beauty. But you know, what's so beautiful about that? All those years I thought as a Christian, I might read for 10 minutes and think I did my work for the week and, you know, in the Bible and go on. But once you really get in the Word and you see what you're supposed to do, you just want more and more of it. You don't even want to have to put the Bible down, you know, or your prayer, you know, have to go. You just want to stay there forever. And it's just really shown me, since I got Spirit-filled, the difference in the levels of everything. And, you know, when I was in New York City, there was so much work on the streets, and I know you went with me on some of it, but a lot of it you didn't too, but there's so much work on the streets there and everywhere across America. Do you know that the people listening to us right now can just look in their neighborhood, probably sometimes even in their own home, and see somebody that needs some help? Maybe it's their sister, their brother, their neighbor. Maybe it's somebody on the street that they go past all the time when they leave to go to work every day. It's, you know, maybe they need help, you know? But the problem is in America, I feel, Daryl, is just like, you know, there's so many things that we lost. You know, I know Jesus is coming soon, but we aren't ready for him. There is so much stuff that's so messed up that we've got to get straight. He wants to get straight before he comes back because there's so many people out there that need him. And, you know, sooner or later, their knees will bow. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be awesome to know that they don't have to go through a whole lot for their knees to finally bow, you know? And so it's up to us to go out there and try to tell everybody about Jesus. And you're right. We could have 100 people. I could speak to 100 people and only 3 people come to me, and then 3 others would come to you, and then 60 would come to somebody else. We already know. He already knows. He sends us people to minister to. It doesn't matter. So it's never, you know, we didn't reach somebody here. Well, you know what? We're never going to reach them because God already had them hooked up with us later on when we came because God already knew he was going to be there, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it doesn't really matter about none of those things. But, you know, it's like on the streets, wherever we go, there's some people we can reach and some people we can't. Sometimes we can't that week, but next week we could. It kind of depends where they are, too, you know. It's kind of like we are when we read the Bible. We can read one verse or one chapter, and we read it one way. And then the next week we read the same thing again, or a month later, a year later, whatever, and we totally get something totally different because we were in a different place in our walk. Don't you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's just so beautiful. I love to reflect at the end of the day, and I know you do too, to look back and see how God moved in our lives that day, you know, and the blessings that we got. Do you know we have so many blessings we get every single day, and we just take them for granted. We don't really realize sometimes they're blessings. But, you know, when your eyes are totally open and your blinders are off, you know what it says, that, you know, you made a blind man see. It doesn't always mean that you could not ever see really out of your eyes. Sometimes we can see just fine. It's just that we're blinded with a veil. You know, and, you know, when those blinders finally come off and you really see the beauty of our Lord Jesus, you're never going to be the same. And when you're filled with Spirit and when you realize your assignment. So, you know, Daryl, right now, I would like for you to just stop right now. And just, I'd like for you to say a prayer for everyone listening about for that they could find their assignments and that God can download that in and they will be able to receive it, that they're open to receive.
Sure. Father, I pray for every person listening in every state of the United States, in every country of the world right now. And in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit right now will take the assignment book of Psalm 139, verse 16, every individual's assignment book. I'm asking that right now in the name of Jesus that you download that assignment book into every person's spirit. And Father, I praise you from this moment forward. There are people, they have no direction, but from this time forward, you will have direction because the assignment book is being downloaded from heaven right now down into your spirit. And Father, I praise you that you're bringing it up from their spirits into their minds in bite-sized pieces on a daily basis, Lord, that they will begin to do what you have already pre-recorded them to do. Lord, you're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. Lord, you're the first and the last. You've seen the completion of every person's assignment, and you have backed up and said, now be born. I praise you, Lord, that the realization of each person's assignment is coming to full measure right now on this broadcast, and I give you praise for it. Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Yes. Yeah, that was beautiful, Daryl. I remember the first time I heard you pray that, and I remember I got my total assignment downloaded on me. My life has never been the same. Like I said, sometimes you think you have it, and I have parts of it, but I didn't have the whole thing. And sometimes you don't really ever have the whole thing, because it gives you more. Sometimes it gives you a little bit of time,
yeah.
But I got the bigger picture of what I was supposed to be doing. And, you know, that's just a beautiful thing, because it lets you know exactly what your direction is to a degree, and then he'll give you more as you go. When you're obedient, he gives you a little more. You're a little bit more obedient, he gives you a little bit more. Wouldn't you think
that's
so?
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. It's progressive.
Yeah, it's not all. Here's your whole thing, figure it out. No, it's just, you know, he gets you to one point, then he gives you a little bit more. But the deal of it is, though, is when you get to those points, you want more of it so bad, you're just waiting. Okay, Daddy, I'm ready. And he'll know when you're ready, but you want it. You want the next assignment. You want the bigger picture. You want the next step. You want the next level of whatever he's sending you to, and that's the beauty of it.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. So now tell us again the address and the times where you are on here in Conroe.
We're at 15222 I-45 North, Conroe, Texas, 7 and the zip 77384. We're there every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Powerful, powerful meetings. Powerful.
Yes, it is. And for anybody who live around here, it's really at the corner of 1488 and 45, where you kind of know it's around the edge. It says Conroe, but it's really around the edge of the Woodlands. So anybody around here knows it's 1480 and 45, right next to the antique stores, how I always tell everybody, because it's really worth your time to come over there. Your life will never be the same. And I really invite everybody to go to the 5252ministries.org and sign up to volunteer and see what we do. And you know, we're going to have a thing on there, too. We're going to be putting up, too, all these different broadcasters are going to be on there. And we're going to put the people that our guests on our shows every week are going to be on there. And we are going to be doing probably a little bit later on a daytime slot also. And I'll keep you guys abreast of that later on. But we don't know about that yet. But we know it's coming. But I got to tell you, when God's in it, he's going to win it. So I just pray for everybody to keep their eyes focused on that, on him always, because he will never take you somewhere he doesn't want you to be. And Daryl, I'm gonna pray us out, but before I do that, I want you to do one more thing for me, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I would love for you to pray to all the listeners for a call. Call them to Jesus.
Sure. Father, I praise you right now for every person listening to this broadcast. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, right now, right where you're at, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to say, oh God, that's right, wherever you're at, just say, oh God. Say, oh God, I realize that without Jesus I'm lost. But oh God, right now I embrace Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I say with my mouth, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Lord. I make you the Lord of my life. I believe with my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And Lord, I turn from a life of sin, and I turn to you, and I embrace you as my Savior. And I give you praise for that right now in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer right now and you meant it, right now there's the greatest miracle of all miracles took place, and that's the new birth. You have become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Isn't that beautiful to know that no matter where you are in your life, whatever you've done, when you give your life to the Lord, he doesn't even remember what you've done. He doesn't care. It's from this moment forward that he wants to know, because he knows if you meant it or not tonight, right, Daryl? It's not just because
absolutely.
You said the prayer.
Absolutely.
It's got, you know, your heart's got to be right.
That's right.
That's right.
Your heart's got to be right.
That's right. When you say it with your mouth and you mean it from your heart, that's when the new birth takes place.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, let me just say this real quick, because during this whole broadcast, there has been a fire-like heat on the back of my neck, and I know when that's like that, it means that God's also healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't. You may have been experiencing disease, ruptured disc, rotator cuff injuries, torn meniscus, degenerative disc disease, whatever it is that you're facing in the area of sickness. Just right now, receive your healing right now, right where you're at. Lift your hand up and say, I receive my healing right now. Now, if there's something you couldn't do in your body, just begin to do it. You're going to find that pain is leaving your body right now, discomfort is leaving, and God is also, not only is he saving you, but he is also healing you of sickness and disease. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise Amen. God. That is just amazing, isn't it?
Amen. Give you call in. Give your testimony. You came to Christ tonight. You received healing. I'm telling you, the fire of God's still on my back of my neck, very strong. That means healing is taking place. I don't care what the doctor's report is. We're talking about Jesus. He is the master of all disease. By his stripe, you were healed.
Amen.
Receive
Hallelujah.
It now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, Daryl, let us me and you come in agreement right now with our brother Willie right here listening. Let's just pray for him for his health right now, Father.
Yes.
Father God, we just lift up our brother Willie right now, Father God. We know we know he's a mighty man of God. He's a mighty warrior for you, Father God. And we just bless him. We want you to bless him supernaturally, Father God, and just heal body. Just let him feel the heat and feel your spirit and feel the healing supernatural
Lord.
Power right now, happening right now, right now, right now. He is healed in Jesus'
Lord.
Name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus'
Thank
name.
You,
he is
Thank
healed
you,
in Jesus' name. There's nothing
bind
that you
Lord.
Can't. Oh, Father, we bind any sickness with the root of that sickness be stolen and out of his body right now and thrown in the fiery lakes of hell forever away from his body. Father, we pray for angels to come around him, angels to be around him, Father God, and protect him from anything and for anything, from sickness or anything, Father God. We just praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Father God. We just thank you. Thank you, Father, for lifting my brother up in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah! We come together and we just know we were. Oh yes, well we just feel your presence, Father.
Thank you,
and
Father.
We thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Woo!
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
You know one of God's names is Yahweh Rapha, and it means he's our healer, he's our mender, he's our repairer, and he's the one who restores us to normal. And I praise you, Lord, right now you are healing people, you are repairing them, you are mending them, you are restoring them to normal in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Daryl, I want to tell you thank you so much for being
You're
our
welcome.
Guest tonight.
Don't leave, Daryl.
Just hang out. But
sure.
Will, you have something you want to add in here?
Yes, hang on. Daryl?
Go right ahead, Willie.
Okay, I'm the guy that's behind the station, but I want you to know I thank God for the words you have spoken tonight, and I'm going to extend the time until the people, some people I want to talk with you or say something to you, but I know we have a revival. I must make mention of that. We have a revival tomorrow night here in Houston. We got a woman coming from New Jersey who's going to bring the word of God, and I want you to know I took a note of some of the things you took down. And I took your name down. I took your wife's name down. I took a lot of the information that Sammy gave. 610,000 homeless people. 394.
Wow.
Shameless. And I just said, my God, we're missing the mark. What you were saying tonight, both of y'all, it was a great understanding. So I'm going to open the lines of somebody may want to say something. You got a question. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Sure, go right ahead. We all love that.
Anybody got a question you want to ask Daryl and Sammy tonight? Sammy and Daryl? Okay, that line is closed.
I
want to
bless your ministry.
Anybody? Amen. Anybody? Go
amen.
Ahead.
Anybody
amen. Got a,
amen. God bless. Amen. I just want to bless their ministry because it's not easy being on the battlefield. So I just pray to God for what you do, and I pray for the strength of God to be upon you and your husband, your wife right now in the name of Jesus. that he continue to gird you, strengthen you, guide you, lead you, but even the more. He says, greater works that shall you do. And I just thank God for it. I thank God for the signs and the wonders that's going to continue to follow this ministry. As you continue to lift Jesus up from the earth, he will continue to do the drawing. So I just bless the Lord for you guys tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, Daryl, you and I are about the same age. We're about 26 years old, right?
Yeah, I wish.
I know. I've been with the ministers. I just give God the glory. I thank God. I met Sammy some time ago, and I knew one day God was going to connect me back. And these days we're now living, it's more incumbent upon all of us who are believers to come out of our shame game, a lying game, a cheating game, and come before living God and ask God, have mercy upon me through Jesus Christ. Because what we see going on in America is not right. It's wrong.
That's right.
What we see going on in the Middle East is not right. A man beheaded, a man just being killed, a man giving up his whole totalitarian. God is saying, and I'm going to get that script, I'm going to reread it again, I'm going to let it soak in. Well, Psalm 139, I won't read it all. Let it soak in. But I just want to thank you, Daryl. Thank you. And the line's open. Anybody got it? Most they want to make to him because our God is an awesome God. And see, not only the fire come up on his back, but I could feel the fire, iron, sharp as iron. I said, look at God. Listen to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Anybody Ooh. Got any questions? Somebody behind the line just listening. I see somehow now we got about 24 more people. They don't come on, but they're just sitting. But they got a blessing tonight. They got a
Amen.
Blessing tonight. And,
Amen.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. So, Sammy, I thank God for putting you where you are. I thank God for you operating. I thank God for you being obedient. I thank God for you're not looking upon what you have lost, what you're going to gain. And I can say this, in the fullness, Jesus said, in the last days, he said, just speak the word. Speak the word, and it shall be done.
Amen.
Speak the word.
Amen.
We want to speak the word. The W-R-D, the word, the rhema, speak it, it shall be done. And I'm a
That's
living
right.
witness. I'm a living witness what God has done for me. But sometimes Satan has a way of coming in, and because we leave God out of the picture, and I'm giving God the glory for all the things that he has done. As I put my hand up on the radio, I can even feel a fire coming out of my hand. I'm thanking God. And somebody right now, somebody, as you've heard this great man of God speak, somebody, God is touching you right now. And you ought to just say, Lord, thank you. Lord, I thank you right now. And somebody that's got a testimony shut up inside of them, won't say nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to take over your show, Sammy, but I want to say this. We're living in a time where all of us who love the Lord, if we don't stand firm collectively and stop thinking we're better than somebody, got more knowledge than another person, we got more faith, we got this, we got that, let us submit to the Holy Father and let him do what he has to do. The time we're living in. I mean, look right in America. Look right in America. The mainstream, everything just an earthquake. I said, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. But you know what? He wants to get the attention of those of us who believe. And I tell people, stop calling on God. You got to know Jesus. You can't get to
That's
God.
Right.
You know Jesus.
That's
I
right.
Gotta know
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's right. Woo.
Glory.
Well,
I
you want me to pray us out now here soon, or what do you want me to do, Mr. Willie?
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't hear nobody else. Anybody else got a statement or comments? We got, I'm holding line one more time. Anybody got a question or statement or what they want to say? If not, we're going to have Sammy. But I want you to know, she's going to be on our radio station until the Lord say otherwise.
Amen.
I didn't hear nobody out there saying, I didn't hear nobody out there saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I will say it. I prayed about that before I did this, and God said yes. He says, I gave you a platform. Now go tell millions about me. So I'm here to do that. Every time I can, I'm going to tell people about Jesus, because Jesus is the one. He's the way. He's the only one, you know, and he's the only way you're going to get to the Father is through Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right,
somebody,
well,
somebody in the background got a state, got a question, a statement? Hello. Go ahead on seven. Let me know you're going to be able to win tonight.
All right. Well, I just want everybody listening out there to know that we are going to be here every Wednesday at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock for you. You can contact us at 5252ministries.org if you have any questions. We'll pray with you. You can. We have a guest book. You can sign in and sign your name that you heard us. And if you want a prayer, you can sign in, and we won't have to post it if you don't want us to. If you want to just send us an email off our website, too, we will contact you and just pray with you and do whatever it is we need to do to help you, because Father has sent us out and launched us out to help his children, which is our brothers and sisters, you listening, and we are here to do that as much as we can. But right now, I'm just going to pray out on this program tonight. We just thank you so much for joining 5252 Ministries Street Talk, and we'll see you guys next week. But first, we're going to go to prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Father, for all the millions that get to hear this word tonight, Father God. We thank you for our guests. We thank you for Willie. We thank you for everyone that's listening right now, Father God. But we all want to come together in agreement to pray for the hurting people all over the world, Father God. We want to pray for the hunger for the babies and children in the streets where they're not to be no more. They're built to be full, Father God, for them not to be hungry, for the parents to find jobs, Father God, for them to find you, Father God, for you find you, Jesus. So they know if they can lean on you that nothing that they're going through will be nothing, Father God. I pray for slavery all across the world to be over, Father God. I pray that people know they can seek you and they can find you. All they have to do is seek you and you are there.
Thank you.
Father God, I just want you just to love them. Let them feel your presence and let them know that you're there. Father God, I just want to claim all of this done in Jesus' name. There's no weapon formed against us that shall prosper, Father God, because with you, then nothing can hit us. But we pray right now for Psalms 91 for protection across everyone that's listening, Father God. The ones that are out there, they're on the front lines helping the homeless, the ones that are homeless, Father God, that they don't have to worry, that they have protection on them right now, that they can go into the deep of the deepest out there to help their people, Father God. Thank you so much for the missionaries and the pastors and all the people on fivefold ministry that have their callings, that know what they are and go out and they do it, Father God. But for the ones that don't know and they're seeking it, Father God, I hope that they got to hear tonight that it's valuing right now on them, as Brother Darrell prayed, Father God, that it's coming to them for them just to hold on. Because when you hold on for Jesus, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Don't make the decisions yourself. Wait for God to guide you, because he is the one that really can guide you to the right places, the God of good things, and he will never harm you. I pray for a revival, Father God, against this whole nation, around this whole nation, Father God, a revival for it to come, a revival in the streets. I pray right now we take back our nation, our world, our schools, our neighborhoods, Father God. I pray for nothing to be held back, Father God. I'm right now just praying for everything to be taken care of, Father God, and there's nothing we can't take back. So, Father God, if we all get out there and we work for it and we go for you with it, Father God, we're going to get it. We're going to get it back, Father God. We're going to get it, because with you, we can go get it. So, Father God, we all right now, we want God in our schools, we want God in our streets, we want God in the grocery stores, we want God everywhere. And I right now just come to people who are in the churches, they're on the benches, for them just to get up and go out there and do something. If you want to change, you've got to do something. You can't do nothing and nothing's going to change if you do nothing. So go do something. If you don't know what to do, just do something, because God, the Father, will lead you. So don't sit there. Go out there and do something. Father God, just thank you so much for all the ones listening to this, Father God. I pray that they get out there. And if they don't know what to do, they can call us. We will help them. We will guide them. 5252ministries.org has a phone number you can call. We will talk to you. We will tell you what we can try to do to help you get wherever you need to be. As long as God's in it, he's going to win it. So just, I pray right now for everyone to launch and get out of those seats and get on your feet. Get off the seat and get off. feet and walk and do the work of the Lord. Be the hand and feet that he's called you to do. He has called you. He's called each and every one of us. So let's get up and go do it. Let's go do it. Let's go show him that we are loving him and that we are proud to be his children, that we love him and we want to turn a life in this kingdom with him, that we know that the treasures are in heaven, not here on earth, and we're just passing through this world right here, and this is nothing to us. No matter what we come against, that we have Jesus with us, it doesn't matter because he has got us. There is nothing. And I pray for the ones that have a testimony that they don't ever underestimate the power of their testimony to go out and help one person. They go out and help another person. They go help another person. They help hundreds of people. More and more and more. Father God, so we just right now, open the hearts of the ones that soften their hearts and see that they are so powerful, that they have all these gifts that he's given them, that they can get out there and just use the gifts that you have already gave them. They already have. But they can explore them and find them, and that you will teach them and show them. Father God.
Yes.
Oh, Father, thank you, my Father. Thank you. We just love you. We just praise your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name, we all come together, and we just praise your holy name, and we say amen. Woo!
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you. I hope that somebody received that, because I tell you what, I poured it out with somebody, and I know that somebody's listening, that they needed to hear some of that, and I'm telling you, they received it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Our army is rising up, and we are going to be a mighty, mighty army for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I can't wait till tomorrow the next time, because it's going to be on fire. I can feel the fire is already getting burning, and it's going to be a blaze the time we get there together tomorrow night. Thank you all of you who listened tonight. I hope you receive the words of love and hope. And Daryl, again, thank you so much. You will be on our panel. We're going to have in about a month, and I'd like for you to be on my panel with me if you would, okay?
Sure.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Well, this is 5252 Ministries Street Talk, signing off for the night. But you know what?
I know.
Hold on. We'll be back.
We got some more people came on. Hold on.
Oh, we have some more people. All right.
Yeah, come on.
Before you sign off, I would like for also, because we're having a two-night revival down here in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and I also would like for you to pray for that revival as well.
Oh, yes, I surely will. Not a problem.
Amen.
And two nights down in Georgia? All right. Father God, we lift up right now. What part in Georgia is it, ma'am?
Lawrenceville,
Georgia, Father God. We're just praying right now for the fire to come into that town right now, Father God, for it to come in there, and for it to go to where that revival is, and for the fire to be just everywhere, Father God. We just pray for you just to bring the people to hear your word, Father God. We pray right now that wherever they are, they can hear, Father God, that revival is going on, and they put on their hearts for them to go seek and ask and find you, Father, because you're a mighty God, and we know that you can set this up for so they can all be there in lines. I pray right now. I see lines out that door right now, down that block right now. We're claiming it done in Jesus' name. I see people going down that line and down that street right now, Father God, that there are going to be just people everywhere, even everywhere for that revival, Father God, because it's of you, and you'll be there, Father God, and they're going to line up to hear your word. You may use us for your hands and feet, but Father God, it's going to be your words through that body and all those people there. But Father God is going to receive you, Father, and we just pray for them to just be mighty, mighty, mighty amounts of people there everywhere, all over the block, down the street, and just in lines. I pray right now. They're already just talking about it right now. They're telling their neighbors. They're telling everybody. They're already getting in line, getting ready to go. They're going to get ready to go. It's going to be the biggest revival ever in that town, ever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Woo!
Amen.
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 God bless.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Peace be with you. Peace be with
you. Right. Yes. And, well, you know what? We just are thankful to be on the air and tell people about Jesus. And may God just direct your steps every day until we talk again next Wednesday.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless you.
D63H03, Healing Scriptures.
Unto my shame.
How you doing?
Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God mm-hmm. and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th yes. verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
mm-hmm.
thy will be done in earth mm-hmm. as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will.
Yes.
There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said.
And
so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health,
see, I tell you what
even
God
as thy soul
prospers.
Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, 14 and 15 verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired
well,
of
devil,
him.
The devil,
Hebrews
devil.
Chapter 12, verses 12 and 13.
Well,
wherefore
devil,
lift up
devil.
The hands
so
which hang down,
devil.
And the feeble
then
knees,
the devil.
Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which
well,
is lame
see,
be turned out of the way,
on.
But let it rather
and
be
yes, see, this woman, she,
and
she
then Philippians,
she wants, she,
chapter 2,
she
verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you,
both to
will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8:32.
Yes.
He that spared not his own
yes.
son, but delivered him up for
yes.
us all. How shall he not
he
with him also freely give us all
and
things?
He has a
James 1:17. Every good
teaching,
gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh
they
down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt,
which
thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit none of these diseases on thee, which I have committed upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee,
Lord.
And I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith
like,
the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure,
yes.
And I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth.
Let me call you
Deuteronomy
back.
Chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you,
Hello?
That I have set before you life and death, blessing
yes.
and cursing. Therefore choose life,
yeah, I do that. After
thou and
I,
thy seed
I put that
may
on.
Live,
yeah, no,
that
no,
thou
see,
mayest love the Lord
control,
thy God,
now, why would
and
you
that thou mayest
time,
obey his
I
words,
my time,
and that
I
thou mayest cleave unto
what
him,
I want to tell you
for he is thy life
seven,
and the length
you.
Of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse.
But the whole time
if you walk in
my
statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will have respect unto you. and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles 30:20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings 20:5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people,
and
thus saith
the
Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19.
God
is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent.
Okay.
Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145:8-9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power.
KSK
and in judgment
is an acronym for knowing, acquired,
of justice. He will not
knowing.
Afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations.
Well, I'm getting ready to put you up on my on the radio station.
He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and
KSK,
there was not one feeble person among
media,
their tribes.
52,
Psalm 103:3.
Part of what we're doing,
who forgiveth all thy iniquities,
doing.
Who healeth
Amen.
All thy diseases. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God,
but you know what?
I cried
you know
unto
what?
Thee,
you
and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Psalm 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?
See?
Then Isaiah shows us that
but
he is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the Martin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
And so
with his
some people
stripes,
don't
want to
follow you, so
we
can't make them follow you.
Healed.
Do what Jesus said.
Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes
we
were healed.
Galatians 3:13, verse 14,
and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if he be Christ, then are
ye
Abraham's seed and heirs
because we ain't
according
got time to
the promise.
Then
Colossians 1:12-14,
if everybody
and then chapter 2, verses 10
and 15.
So,
get
we,
the things
we'll
of the Father, which
the
has made us meet, to be partakers
today,
of the inheritance of
the
saints in life, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 12th verse, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
All right,
Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
Hello, Bill.
For he shall
give
his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under thee. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forgive not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, and this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life.
I thank God for you meeting with family. I knew a year ago,
and I'm so glad.
And
I'm so glad. Look,
it's
joined
my heart. See, I've been praying for
women
tonight.
Verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse.
Man, no.
And behold, I came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord,
I'm not
I will.
Thou see, that was the time.
And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee.
Yeah.
And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and
bound our diseases.
Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith is made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord.
See,
then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened.
And
Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country.
Well, all right,
as they
see,
went out,
say,
behold,
old,
they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them.
I'm blessing you. How are
Matthew
you?
Chapter 14, verses 13 and 14.
Amen.
When Jesus
Amen.
Heard of it, he departed thence by ship
into
a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came
down
to the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain,
praise
and sat down.
Amen.
And great multitudes came
Amen.
Unto him,
Amen.
Having with
Amen.
Them those that were lame,
Amen.
Blind, dumb,
Woo.
Maimed, and many others, and cast them down
Amen.
At Jesus' feet.
I've been knowing
that
lady I've met about 20,
insomuch that the multitude
4 or 5 years
wondered,
ago.
And when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified
She's
the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43.
Yeah.
And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes.
Yeah. Well,
and when he was come out of the ship, immediately
and,
there met him out of the tombs
a
man
with an unclean
spirit,
behind the scenes,
who had been dwelling among the tombs,
question,
no
so
one could find him, no,
but,
not
I thank
with
God
chains.
Because
because
that
he had been often bound with fetters
and
chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High
God?
I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?"
Both of them.
And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now, there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him.
Hello,
and a certain woman which had an issue of blood
12 years,
and had
fire.
Suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that
plague.
And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, "Who touched my clothes?"
I just say, I thank
and his disciples
God.
Said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude following thee, and
God.
Sayest thou,
see, that's
who
what
touched
I'm
me?"
To say.
And he looked
see,
around about to see her that had done
I'm
this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all
the
truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague."
So,
while he
yet
spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tomb, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talithai kumai," which is
many,
being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then Mark, the sixth chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. And ran through the whole reach round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole.
I hope to have many
then Mark
in
the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet.
And I know what God
the woman was a Greek,
a
Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter.
I want you to know,
but when Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not good to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs on the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft time it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place it had written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was with him. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth the hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse, and he came down with them, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Then in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 17, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men are to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, 14 years, be loosed from this one on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verse 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole for a disease he had. And a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no need when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that it was cured his Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst come unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these sons shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12-15. Very verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Acts, the 6th chapter, and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Annas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of And Peter said unto him, Annas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard all speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. God who sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and at these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things or beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall answer me, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give in you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.